ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gao Media Station. KFC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Appropriate. As we come back for hour number two of the three-hour show, it's The Usual Suspects. On a fun-filled potluck-type day at Gowdy.
Is there any food left, or did you eat it all, Joel?
Nick, I haven't been able to get in there, and Stutes is still in there.
Oh, my God.
There's no way.
There's nothing left.
There's two people left in the entire, where all the food is, in the big conference room, and Cody's one of them. And he keeps going, I brought the corn. Try the corn. I'm not trying the corn. And I know you didn't try the corn.
I'm going to grab a cookie or something.
Cody. The gourmet cookies and stuff I brought, all the pies, it's all there.
Cody, fourth meal Stutes. You ain't getting none, bro. Ain't happening.
Bro, I had to go with the instrumental because obviously finding a clean version of this
love that song.
Yeah. Are you going to find all the clean versions for my hour?
Probably not.
The fact that you used Paula Abdul, Cold Hearted Slave,
I would never put that on my list.
Yeah.
I would never put that
really?
On my list.
You wouldn't?
Really?
I don't know.
When you asked both of us?
Did you guys not see the ESPN 97.5 Twitter feed?
No.
Yeah.
I need to get you a different Ice Cube song because I saw that you also have Check Yourself, so I need to replace one.
Yeah.
Won't be a problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you missed hour number one, well, I would suggest you get on the podcast.
Yeah.
But we're continuing to roll on.
Somebody said, hey, I heard y'all mention yesterday towards the end of the show, Mike McCarthy being on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Who would top the list of guys to replace him if he was let go? You think Green Bay has anybody in mind? Or is it just going to be the normal list of...
I'll tell you what. If they're smart, they ask Aaron Rodgers who he'd like to work with.
That would be the smart play for sure.
Because the biggest issue that they have right now is... that for whatever reason, if it was a harmonious marriage at one time, it seems like it's coming to a close between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. I told you guys how Rodgers constantly looks disgusted when the plays get into his helmet when they're called in. He changes a lot of them at the line of scrimmage. And I think that if you're smart and you're the new general manager, Brian Gutekunst, the first thing you do is talk to Aaron about who would you like to work with.
Any chance a guy like Harbaugh goes to the Packers?
Don't hurt me like that.
I mean, I'm just asking. He's going to be on the
based on the fact that
he's
Michigan's
going to be
a
on the short
team
list for
right
people.
Now. He ain't going anywhere.
Okay,
I think he's fine at Michigan right now.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be an offensive. I think my line of thinking was, especially last time they did this, were guys that are good offensive coordinators. Like, you bring up one there, guys in the
Minnesota.
Mold of Sean McVay.
Josh McDaniels is a name that's going to come up on a lot of lists.
And if there's one job that Josh McDaniels may pass on the Patriots to have a chance to work with another quarterback like Tom Brady, that's another good call.
Because if Tom Brady can make you look good, guess who else can? Aaron Rodgers.
He Same reason why good. Martellus Bennett gave it a try and Jimmy Graham is there now.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't dumb. Martellus Bennett, when you look at his quarterbacks, when he got out of Chicago because he didn't have one. And he got himself Tony Romo. Then he upgraded that to Tom Brady. Then upgraded because I'll get people upset. But stayed on the same level with Aaron Rodgers. Jimmy Graham did the same thing. He went from Russell Wilson to Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Those guys are smart. They want to play with guys that know how to get them the ball.
Yep.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it happens. I'm not saying McCarthy's gone, but I'm saying, look, if they bow out quickly in this – there's two extraordinary teams in the NFC, and everybody else is just also-rans. But if they don't get in the playoffs, and they don't look like they made a hell of a push if they don't get in, I believe that there will be a change in Green Bay. And I've bored you all enough, but you guys asked, that's why I answered.
Yeah, I found that interesting. You felt like everything was going pretty good out there. Not great.
Think about the preseason prognosticators who said the Packers would be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A lot of them did, and they're not even close. They're Aaron Rodgers and a whole bunch of other guys. Their defense is awful.
Well, they're one loss in the loss column out of first place. So it's not like it's over. And you know, Rodgers obviously is the relaxed kind of guy. So you're definitely not panicking. But when you look at what their offense is scoring in a decent clip. They're not giving. I mean, they're on the right side of the plus minus, but not by much.
Because of him.
Yeah, because
and
of
Aaron
him.
Jones. Look, they found themselves a diamond in the rough in Aaron Jones. They got a running back. The receiver thing is going to be, you know, a work in progress. They got two young rookies. Their secondary, a good young secondary of rookies, but they're not ready for prime time yet.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You got a new general manager now. You can't look back at the Aaron Rodgers era and go, well, you got to one Super Bowl. You blew one against Seattle when you should have won the NFC Championship there and the onside kick and all that. But overall, if that's all he's got to show for his time in Green Bay, that means you didn't do enough to put players around him so they were good enough. And I think that that's what's coming up. The new general manager in his first year this year has said, this offseason, we are going to retool around Aaron Rodgers. You damn well better. Because otherwise, you're doing a hell of a disservice to not only Aaron Rodgers, but the fan base and the organization and everybody around it.
Did you see the beef going on between Swearinger and Bill O'Brien?
Loving it.
Whoa. I mean, what are you team Swearinger or are you team O'Brien?
Here's what I'll say about it. If you missed it, because Swearinger came out and basically said Bill O'Brien said I'd be out of the league within 3 years.
This was the quote. He said, I remember the day like it was yesterday. We had a walkthrough, a regular walkthrough, and O'Brien called the whole walkthrough off, and he said he wanted to talk to me and all of the defensive coaches. That was shocking to me because I didn't know what the deal was, and he came to me basically telling me that he was going to bench me. That didn't work. Cut me. That didn't work. I felt totally disrespected by the conversation, you know. He yelled at me in my face for about a minute in front of the defensive coaches, and I sort of lost all respect for the DB coach at the time. So he's not having it, and that's fine, but, it, he's scorned, too. He's no longer here, and he's a bit scorned, but
if you read some of the quotes, too, some of the other quotes he said, aside from O'Brien saying to him at one point, you will be out of this league in 3 years.
Yeah.
He also said, look, I did some things to get under the skin of some coaches. I wasn't acting the right way. So basically, I'm going to say both guys are at fault because Swearinger obviously had some growing up to do. Mm-hmm. He had to mature a little bit, right?
He
proved he can still play in the league. But this is the second guy we've heard. If you remember Case Keenum, the excerpt from his book, stating,
oh, that's right.
You will be nothing more than a third string quarterback in this league.
Yep.
Right? So he did that. And then if you believe at face value what Swearinger said about him saying, I would not be in the league in 3 years, and here we are 5 years later, Billy O wants to be that guy, that quick-triggered tongue and tough guy, and we've seen him in the press conferences and everything else. Not a good look, especially because you know it's going to surface at some point.
It's funny because when you listen to other people talk about O'Brien outside of the organization, you hear a lot of praise for him. I don't remember what show it was, but somebody was just enamored with O'Brien and the job that he's done when you consider how many different quarterbacks he's had, the fact that he's able to get them to a winning record year after year. Last year wasn't the case, but he lost Watson. So he's just going on and on about, I have so much respect for him. But it doesn't seem like that a lot of the players do. I think they enjoy having a job while they play for him. But like you said, there's two specific examples of almost the same thing of basically saying you're never going to make it. You'll be gone in 3 years in the league. That's a bad look if that starts to come out more and more.
You'd figure Charles James would have a bigger beef with Bill O'Brien, right? Because all he did was slip, right?
But you wonder,
that's
true. That's a great point. But you wonder how much of that was Rick Smith and just cuts and whatnot. I mean,
do you remember that bit that we did with Charles James?
Yeah.
Now remember how you always get on to me about like me like not dumping you?
Uh huh.
Well, I went back to some of the old shows, and this is almost a year ago today.
Okay. Why would you do such a thing?
Because I just wanted. I was bored.
Okay.
I was bored.
Where is this going?
It's nothing bad.
What are you doing?
But.
I can only have one heated battle at a time.
It's not
you're
battle.
You're the only one with enough on your
listen
plate.
Listen to the way you tell me to toss to this audio clip. Almost 1 year year ago today with Charles James. It's pretty funny.
Okay. I got some hidden audio.
Ooh.
From
tell me more.
There may have been a microphone planted in Rick Smith's office when they cut Charles James. So Dick, do you have the audio? Let's go ahead and hear
did
that.
You just call him Dick.
No, Nick.
No, you just called me Dick.
Yeah, you did.
I meant to say, do you have
hey,
the
Dick.
Audio?
And it came out. Hey, run the audio, Dick.
All right, this is Rick Smith and Charles
hey,
James.
Rick, you wanted to see me?
Oh, wasn't that funny?
That's
remember
pretty
that?
Good stuff right there.
I totally forgot about that, man.
That's a promo.
Well, Dick, listen. you know, puss. so I've called you Dick.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. No, that's me.
That's
I'm
you.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, I was going to say boom, boom.
Fart Charara.
Yep.
I've called you Dick by mistake instead of Nick.
I don't know if that was.
And then
mistake.
if you're kind of newish to the show, we called you Puss for a while.
Yeah.
Because that was a nickname that old people used to use on each other. My grandfather used to call my grandmother Puss. He'd be like, Puss, have you seen my shoes? It was just a weird. So I thought, well, you know, I like Nick. I mean, not the way that my grandfather liked my grandmother, but I'll just, as a term of endearment, we can just call Nick Puss. Okay. So
I'm glad you don't like me.
We've run the
gamut. I don't want to go by that. So
we've run the gamut of nicknames for you. I just Fart Shirara has a Twitter account, so it's never going away.
Yeah.
And then with that, I'm happy. That is kind of funny. God.
Yeah, Fart Shirara found its way into the beef last night.
It did.
Oh, wow.
It did.
And then someone had to ask about Fart Shirara. I was like, oh, well, this is going off the rails in six directions
now. Stupid. It's already
stupid.
What
is going on?
Yeah, it got silly. What is this? How about Hugh Jackson, Joel? Would you want Hugh Jackson?
Have you seen how he's been a head coach in this league?
It just sounds like a temporary move for Cincinnati.
That's
right?
Enough. The good news is the last. You guys know who the other runner up was to Mike McCarthy when they named him the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
No,
Sean Payton. They had their ducks in a row last time.
Okay,
so let's hope they do the same.
Not bad. Yeah.
So, all right, we got plenty more show to get to as we're just in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza, and we appreciate you being along for the ride. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. I saw Lance down the hallway, so I'm assuming he will join us at 2:30. So we got Lance Zierlein to talk a little football and other things, and his carving skills as he was culinary
good.
Chef Lance today,
yes,
serving up some of the food. So Lance at 2:30, more on the horizon. You guys can join the show as well. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Shirara.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep in hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday. If you missed it, the theme pre-2008, any song, title, or artist that has anything to do with the cold and freezing and Ice Cube and iced tea.
What song is this?
Queen, Stone Cold Crazy.
Now, Nick was blaring this. We drove in together today, side by side, and he rolled down his window.
I was like, y'all rode together?
When we pulled up in the parking spots, he rolled down his window, and he was actually blaring this Queen song because he said it's one of his favorites.
I asked Joel straight up, like, have you ever heard this song?
And my answer was, no.
Do you know this Queen song?
Huge Queen fan.
Yeah. What? No, you have no idea. Yeah.
No clue.
I knew right when you said that.
A lot like...
Freddie Mercury?
Yeah, I do want to watch the movie.
I would like to see the movie as well.
But
what's it called? Bohemian Rhapsody?
Correct.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, it looks good. And apparently the guy that plays
Freddie Mercury.
Spot on.
Looks the part and plays the part really well. They're already saying, just shut it down. He's going to win the Oscar.
I heard Raheel talking about it. He saw it, I think, the day it came out. And he was telling John and Lance about it and saying that there's a lot of the backstory of Freddie Mercury. And that's what most of the movie is based on, although obviously the forming of the band Queen.
Right.
But the specifics of it, like, he was raised in an Indian background.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was like...
I thought it was Persian, but yeah. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah.
I knew it was something
like
that.
And when he was... I was like, man, now I'm even more interested in seeing the movie now because that's crazy. And obviously his teeth, his overbite was something that everybody always wanted him to get fixed.
And he
used it as basically one of his trademarks or his signatures that everybody knew
him for. He's such an interesting dude. That's why it's going to be a good movie, I think.
Yeah.
He's such a weird character and so unique
in
a time that, you know. I mean, there were unique characters back then, but I think it was a different time to be able to be.
He was a showman, and express yourself that way. Yeah, yeah.
So.
Did you see what the Rams are doing? So we discussed a little bit yesterday about the fact that they're potentially talking about moving the game out of Mexico City.
It's done.
Right. Yeah. But we talked yesterday that the potential was there.
Right.
Then they've decided that, yes, the field in Mexico City is so bad that they're going to move this back, the Monday night game between the Rams and the Chiefs, back to L.A. But the Rams, what they've decided to do is they are providing thousands of complimentary tickets to Monday night's game which is going to be played at the Coliseum now, to first responders and those affected by the tragedies. Very awesome and a great look, and kudos to them for doing it, because I'm sure there was some back and forth on, and I'm sure there's some money lost somewhere along the way.
It has to be.
But for them to do that and make that effort says a lot.
I'll say this. If you saw the video, they made the right decision, because that field
looks bad, yeah.
Was just a mess. So they made the right call there. And then if you don't know what the Rams are doing, the Rams have been training in Colorado Springs at the U.S. Olympic Training Facility. That's why the Rams players were at the Rockets game last night, because they just kind of took a little hop, skip, and a jump over to Denver. No, the Rams were there with the Broncos. They were all there. Oh,
the Rams were there too?
Yeah.
I saw all the Broncos. I didn't see any of the Rams.
No, yeah, because Akeem Talib is a Ram now.
Oh, yeah.
He played with the Broncos before. He's a Ram. And Todd Gurley was there, and a lot of other guys were there.
I didn't see Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley had the hoodie on. So essentially, now that the decision is made, the initial thing was the Rams are going to go right back to LA to continue. No, they don't want to mess with the continuity of the week. So they're going to stay in Colorado Springs.
Nice.
Sign of a great organization. Stan Kroenke and the owners of the Rams decided, because they were going to train there that week leading up to the game, whether it was in Mexico City or not, their families all got accommodations and transportation to be there all week.
Yeah.
So they said, why would we screw with that? So everybody's going to stay, and because it's Monday night, until Saturday, I think, midday.
Wow.
And then everybody will head back to L.A., and then they'll get ready for the game, so they don't have to mess up all their planning and prep for the game. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Speaking of stuff being given away, I saw a post on Instagram last night where this guy was he had a Toyota pickup.
Okay.
And he was involved in the fires in some way. Like, he was either in the area. So he basically used his truck to go in and out and get people out of harm's way of the fires. And it burned his truck. It looks like, you ever seen, like, when you sit at a campfire, you burn a marshmallow?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you can see the white, but you see kind of the dark brown and
black
stuff.
Black spots a little bit.
That's what his truck looked like. It looked like a burnt marshmallow. So he was like, hey, you know, thanks to Toyota for making a vehicle tough enough to withstand these fires, and I was able to go out and get a lot of people. Toyota sees it and goes, hey, no problem. We're honored and appreciative that not only did you risk your life, but, you know, you used our truck, and don't worry about it. We'll replace it for you.
That's awesome.
That is kind of cool.
That's fantastic.
It's kind of cool that they would go out of their way to do that. And there was, of course, cynical people that were like, oh, well, this is free promotion. It doesn't matter. The dude still, his truck burned up. And even if Toyota gets great pub off of it, which they're getting, we're talking about it on our show.
Yeah, because they, you know what? They extended.
That dude got a new truck.
Something to be worthwhile of getting the recognition.
Yeah.
Now, I want to know, you said you could see it. You could see still the original color of the truck, right, around the charge spot?
Yes.
Did you see the signature where Chuck Norris signed it?
He is in their commercials, isn't he?
God, he signs the truck and everything, and then the truck ends up being the star of the show instead of Chuck. That's the whole premise.
I do, yeah.
I don't give a rat's rear end how much you love Chuck Norris. He ain't signing my truck. I don't want a signature on my truck.
It might be worth more.
Will it?
I mean, it's Chuck Norris.
I will say this, though. This is actually not the first time that Toyota's been able to kind of get pub off of something like this. There's like a really old documentary, like I want to say either in the 90s or maybe even the 80s. And it was like the old Toyota 4x4s. And the rules was you couldn't replace anything. You could only fix or adjust. And they literally put this truck through like the water. They put it in a building, and then they exploded the building with dynamite and just let the building fall on top of the truck. And every time, the truck was able to start right back up. And I think the video is still up on YouTube. It's a really old documentary.
Yeah.
But this is something Toyota's been able to capitalize forever. So it's really not that big a deal.
I found the thing. What I'm going to do is I'll screenshot it and tweet it out if you want at Barry's Funny on Twitter. But basically, what he said was, he said, here's my Toyota USA commercial. The truck literally saved my life today. My little own paradise was literally burning down around me and and at the Panger, which I guess is his significant other. But it said, it got me to safety where I could help others twice. And he said, thanks to all the firefighters, law enforcement, and my fellow healthcare workers for all the work we all did. And they said, we're humbled you'd risk your life and Toyota Tundra to drive people to safety. Don't worry. We're honored to get you a new one. So really cool for them, man.
Very cool.
I mean, he tagged them, and that happens a lot. They didn't have to respond. They absolutely did not have to respond to that. So props to them for doing it. I'll tweet that out if you want to see it.
Props to Toyota.
It really does look like a damn burnt marshmallow, though. And Tracy Cowley, your tweet is inappropriate, and I'm blocking you. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to expand upon what it is. You're blocked. Out of here.
I would never do that. all right. So we're about the halfway point of the show. We still got 90 minutes on the clock. That means plenty of time for you to get in and join us, 713-780-3776. You can text and call that number, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. We know that we've had our own natural disasters to deal with around here, and some of you people are still trying to get back on track. And that means you have issues with your roof, whether you need a total new roof on your house or you need roof repairs. And there are a lot of deposit thieves and storm chasers out there that are in the area still, and they're there to try and get your money up front, do less than stellar work, and then skip town with all your cash and your guarantees where you are left holding the bag. That's not the case with Fitz Roofing. They are locally owned and operated, which means they are going to be concentrating on your issue and your issue alone. They use the top quality brand of shingles in America that are CertainTeed shingles. And in fact, they use CertainTeed shingles and do such fine work that Fitz Roofing is now a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get this elite status. They got it. You get it. And that's what you need when you want something for your roof, because you don't want things to come back like leaks, gutter issues, shingles that don't last. Well, you're not going to have to deal with that. Basically, at Fitz Roofing, their base warranties are longer than your average roofer can offer, and it goes from there. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor, and you get free no-obligation inspections just by picking up the phone. Call 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001, or log on to fitzroofing.com. That's F-I-T-Z roofing.com. Either way, reach out today, because after that free no-obligation inspection, you'll realize Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time. The day fell down, the air got
cold, I walked out in the street. You know who it is.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday. Nick playing songs from Scooby-Doo as he has hour number two. How many times besides this time right now have you listened to this song?
This might have been the second time.
Might have been the first time, because you listened to it more than 10 seconds of it.
Well, yeah, because I heard it at 12:30 in the. You know,
how many songs on your list could you have come up with on your own?
Probably. I'll be honest. Let me look at the list.
Okay. One. Yeah. Take your time. Go get Lance, and then
one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just. I'm guessing about one, maybe two.
Over under at my bookie right now is one.
I mean, I kind of knew the Lenny Kravitz song. I'm going to say three.
Without lying, how many?
Okay, two.
There you go. Thank you very much.
It's really just the Ice-T and the Ice Cube song, to be honest.
I was going to say.
That's the only two.
By the way, somebody texted the show, really old, like in the 90s, LOL, classic Nick.
Listen.
What are you talking? You really did say that.
That's 25 years ago.
I was in high school, bitch. I wasn't old.
Yeah, you're, well, sorry.
What? I was married with three kids.
Yeah, so it's like, I already had my first grandbaby.
Yeah.
Like, that is typical Nick to call us out for living our life in the 90s when you know.
90s most, is when things were happening, man.
I'm telling you. I mean, 90s were better than the 80s. There's no doubt about it. And I was around for both, so I can comment on both. I feel like the 90s were better. The 90s might even have been better than the 2000s, I feel like.
I would actually back that up.
Okay.
The 90s was a good decade.
Music was better, I think. The music was better. It's locked.
Patrick Creighton's trying to get back in the studio right now. I thought it was open. Lance Zierlein is now available to join us.
Because he was worried Craig's going
to. I'm glad you're not walking in with a knife.
No, not throw those hands. Talk. That's what I was worried
about. Here's what I want to know. Right off the
I'm not worried about those hands.
Worried about them hands.
I'm not worried about them hands.
Where the hell was Granato this morning, right?
Two-piece for Thanksgiving.
No, you've seen him. That's six-piece, bro.
Yeah.
Where the hell... Did this come up on your show this morning?
No, huh? I just came up on my timeline a while ago. Yeah. I'm like,
see?
What is this? Yeah.
But you know, if that was me and AJ with him, okay, guys, let's talk about it. Granato here. Who doesn't want to see a fight in the office?
No
who
doubt.
Doesn't?
No
hey,
doubt.
Who said this?
No doubt.
Did y'all do that when they were beefing? Did y'all do that when they were beefing?
Oh, John did.
It depends on if something else is going on. Like, Tom Herman got everything yesterday.
Did he?
Monday. Wait,
right.
What's today? Wednesday?
It was
Monday. Tom Herman Monday was, it was a bad day for Tom Herman in massage parlors.
Yeah.
On the show. Had women calling in like, if your husband went and got a massage at a Asian massage parlor, would you leave him? Or is that worse? Like, he had some kind of question and women called, like,
John's not leaving his husband
in.
For anything. Don't worry about that.
What's that?
John's not golf. Leaving his husband
Except
for
golf.
Okay? He's not. He's not happening.
Are y'all good now? I mean, what is this? Oh, it just now hit my timeline. So it happened to me.
Oh,
and
bro,
I'm like,
it's been going for like 24 hours.
You don't want to crack on a comedian. I mean, that doesn't seem like a.
That
writes jokes for a living.
That did pop into my head last night when reading all of that.
Yeah. I'm like, let me get into this one-on-one scrap against an NBA player. Or even an amateur baller for Houston Elite. Like, what are you doing?
And I'm good. He's had some good cracks at some point.
They weren't bad.
No, he had a really good one where at some point somebody said something. Has AJ taken over Barry's timeline? Because this is ruthless. And he cracked back and said, no, if AJ had taken over, it would have been funny. That's great. But that was the only good one, because literally every other thing he's talked about has been my penis and my testicles, and I have no idea why he's so fascinated with it.
It all started with jeans.
Yeah, which was, I'm like.
It all started jeans. Yeah. How did that whole thing start? He just made a jean joke or what?
He just started making fun of his pants at 4 o'clock yesterday.
He just decided.
That was what it was? That was it?
At 4:01, he decided he was going to just start taking shots at me about my jeans, which is fine, because as AJ walks in, AJ starts talking about what I was wearing. So that's not the problem. For me, the problem was is he brought my wife into it pretty early on, and then I was like, well, it's all bets are off now.
Like the acid wash jeans?
Yeah.
I thought you might take some heat for that.
I don't care. That's not the first time I've
worn
those.
Well, I was like, yo, MTV Raps. Like, I've seen those.
That's not the first time I've worn them.
I'm not hating on them because I don't want to all of a sudden.
I think it was just because it was denim on denim. Like, it was like the blue jean shirt with the.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember.
Tyler
that.
Called
Tyler
it a Canadian
tuxedo.
Yeah.
I had a denim shirt on. He said he heard it on Super Troopers that they talked about the Canadian tuxedo where you wear a denim shirt. And a denim and
that,
and
that
denim
was,
jeans.
That's what brought attention to it, in my opinion, was the fact that it was a denim shirt and
on
jeans.
I'm sorry that you guys around here aren't fashionable enough to have
it's
never
hard.
Seen
I've never even
a
tried
denim
to pull
shirt
it off. I've seen denim shirt and I thought
I'm
about
sorry.
Ooh, I like the way this one looks, and I just think I don't know what I mean. I can't go denim.
Gotta
on
take
denim.
A risk.
I couldn't
I'm
do it
for
either.
For God's sakes, you wore that shirt. You obviously taking risks.
This is just purple, bro.
This here's Barry. Round two coming up. New opponent. It's like Rocky IV. This is Barry II. Here
just
it comes.
I mean, just because it's cold, we ain't got to go logging with that shirt you got on.
I look like a gay lumberjack.
Like ESPN2.
Spin those logs and try to spin each other off.
What was that called? What was that called?
I don't know, but I couldn't stop watching it.
That ESPN guys, show?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Take that axe and hack into it and put their board in it, stand on it.
Yes.
I'm like, dude, these are real skills.
It wasn't lumberjacking, but there was. It was like
no,
a whole competition.
Was,
well, now you made it sound gay. Lumberjacking. Why do you
lumber? I know.
Thanks, Joel. You're
most
supposed to be on my team.
Do the lumberjack. Well, like, wait, what?
Well, you out there lumberjacking
there
in those
beavers.
Skinny jeans.
There were beavers involved. There were beavers involved because of the whole trees and lumber thing.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I'll save that.
I knew all of them. You had the log
splitting.
Up and down with the splitting. You had like the log
rolling.
The log rolling. That was the most
They
addictive.
Had the carry one, right? Like the pole throw like thing. Remember?
Yeah.
It's like you had to throw the big long
log
thing.
And who made it dirty?
No, that's an actual sport.
I'm glad Granato's not here for this now.
Who does
who
it?
Does
it doesn't take much to get him going.
But that's like a European thing. I don't know what they call that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just know that when the lumberjack stuff came on ESPN back in the day when I was a kid.
Well, that was
like,
my inspiration for my outfit.
That's what I'm
saying. Even though they didn't wear skinny jeans. That's
no, no. The lumberjacks. But they did wear those special spikes when they did the log rolling.
Yes.
Yeah. Tried to log roll each other.
Any
off
chance
that.
You could do that at all?
No.
No?
Not a chance.
You're pretty athletic.
Not anymore. And then also, like the back and forth, the stop-start action, when all of a sudden it gets going one way and all of a sudden it stops
they
and starts going the other.
Yeah.
I never understood like how.
It's called a remix.
What's the, yeah, well, what's the, how do they know when it's going to stop? See, now Joel's
it says,
pulling it up.
It what's it says, called? First of all, it's embarrassing for my people again. Because it says the Lumberjack World Championships. I put in ESPN log rolling competition. It says Lumberjack World Championships, either from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Minnesota.
Or, no, other destinations within Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, what's great is in Wisconsin, they don't even have to have, like, male and female because it's all the same. They just all
oh yeah
big, husky
yeah
loggers.
So I would think that this
see,
would be
see, I'm not even offended by that. Because no, my theory, true. Which I've said on this show before, is, which is the exact, because everybody says, well, you thank God you didn't end up with a girl from Wisconsin. And they said, well, why? And I said, because honestly, it gets cold every winter, as we know. So every winter, the females there put on between 5 and 10, but they only take off between 2 and 5. So therefore, by the time they're 30, they're at least plus 30, and it just goes downhill from there in an upward spiral of weight. And so you just get out when you can.
The upward spiral? I could see that. Yeah. Now,
caber
but
toss.
If they were in warrant...
Caber
yeah,
toss.
Caber toss. That's a
That's
real thing.
That's the log... chunking thing and now, Scottish athletic know, event.
So which one of you is KD and which one of you is
I mean, I'm
Draymond.
Obviously KD. Obviously.
Are you?
I mean,
do you
want to
be KD?
I mean, in this, I'm obviously
well,
KD.
Well, if it gets the fisticuffs, you're out.
Well, and because
if you're KD, because Draymond's going to kick his ass.
Well,
it's, this
I,
is
see,
a war
So
of
here's
words.
The thing.
This
I was going to say a bunch of nasty things, but I'm pulling my punches right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, you got some licks in yesterday.
What was that little? What was that little?
You obviously did. You hear the first segment? Because I got more.
Yeah, see? Well, I'm glad you're pulling your punches.
Well, I did. Now there were things I was going to say when you brought that up, and they popped into my head. And I'm like, no.
Did you want to tell him your nickname for him?
I don't know. No, no. Let's hold
well,
off.
The air.
I mean, I called him P. Titty.
Well, I mean, none of that sounds good. Oh.
But that, that's not a with whole, the DD. Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'm like, what does that stand for? I'm like, oh,
there you
it's
go.
Pretty self-explanatory now
right?
that I think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to let you guys know it was called the Great Outdoor Games.
That's what
on
it was.
ESPN.
There it is.
Yes.
Look at them. Where they chop it up and then put their board in it. And
didn't they have axe throwing also? Wasn't that an event?
Yes.
Yeah, man, that was
they had spring.
So you obviously watched World's Strongest Man too.
Yeah,
that was
of course,
a thing,
the
like
the throwing
lifting,
the kegs over and stuff,
carrying
like that.
Big balls all over the place.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh man, World's Strongest, and those are the guys.
Oh, the World's Strongest Man was awesome.
Yeah,
it's crazy because it's not like who has the biggest muscles. It's who has the biggest, broadest chest. It's like the barrel-chested Scandinavians were the ones who
like the you know, how many Toyota trucks you could tow with just your body in a chain.
Yeah, and we've all seen guys like that who you just think, man,
you're enthralled by it again. I'm showing
we're
Lance the video of the Great Outdoor
Games,
just
like,
and he's
forget
just
it.
You know
in.
What? Like, but it's like guys who are like guys who look like
that.
Yeah.
That dude's been drinking for weeks,
but doesn't matter. Because he's lumberjack strong.
He's
it's like you're country strong. This guy's lumberjack
that's
strong.
True. That's true.
I
had so many football
here?
Questions for you.
No shit.
Are you going to do one more segment? Because I did have questions for you. Legit right. Football questions.
All right.
He missed that. All right. We'll be back with Lance with one more segment. It's hour number two of the 3-hour show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to Way Back Wednesday on the Usual Suspects. Hour number two, 3-hour show. Lance Zierlein going to join us again in just mere minutes. But right now, I want to tell you and remind you that we're talking about the Rockets and Warriors tomorrow night as the H-Town 5 open up a 3-game homestand. You don't want to miss any of the action. It's the Golden State Warriors in town for a Western Conference championship rematch tomorrow night. Doors open at 5:30. You can get tickets still as low as $59. The first 3,000 fans in attendance receive a Rockets mouse pad courtesy of BBVA Compass. So you want to be there. And then the fun continues with the rest of the homestand Saturday night against the upstart Sacramento Kings. It's kids night at the Toyota Center presented by Ashley Furniture Home Store. Next Wednesday, start your Thanksgiving holiday with Rockets and Pistons action with Blake Griffin as the Rockets Thanksgiving special presented by Rocket. Two tickets, two hot dogs, two bottles of beer, soda, or water for one low price. Check out Rockets.com and secure your tickets now. What are you boys doing?
I was showing him Tracy's tweet and why I'm blocking her. Okay, football talk. I just had one specific question. I know you want to go back and look at the pickle video, but...
No, I'm looking at what your timeline looks like versus mine.
What does my timeline look like?
I don't know, so I was trying to find out.
Is it because it's a different look?
No. Just, you know, I know what kind of shows up on mine.
Right.
It's a mixture of football stuff. Like, I get a weird mixture. There's no telling. It'll be football stuff, and then it'll be something I wrote an article about, like, four of the worst moves, most ill-fated moves that in Houston – sports recently, basically, and it was Carmelo, it was Scottie Pippen to this wasn't really recent, but Pippen when he came in, Carlos Gomez to the Astros, and Ed Reed to the Texans.
Those are good ones too.
So yeah,
I'm surprised though that you left off
I'm on Green. I was considering
no.
Two pitchers at which team?
Astros left fielder
Carlos Lee.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that wasn't a trick, but that one was understandable because they were losing. Like, my point was, who thought Melo was ever going to work? Like, that was never going to work.
I kind of said that. If you're out there thumping your chest, like, everybody knew that wasn't going to work.
And Gogo was a high strikeout guy who struck out a ton. Like, you could understand it at the time, but I just wanted an Astros.
Right.
The Ed Reed thing made no sense at the time. And no sense.
That was forced. That was because they didn't make a splash the year before. They just felt like they had to do something, right?
Yeah. Well, it was. The owner said we got to get him because he knows how to beat the Patriots. Like,
oh God,
Bob. I don't.
Just go back and look at the pieces that the Astros gave up for Gomez.
Well, there's Hader.
Hader is the main piece.
Yeah.
But you still gave up other significant pieces that were the one outfielder that was coming off their bench, the Brewers bench for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Too. But they gave up a lot.
They really did
for Gomez.
Ended up hurting me. Charles to the Rockets.
That was a good risk worth taking.
But that was understandable, and they actually functioned really well the first year. It was the second year he and Clyde's personalities. But when you already knew Clyde couldn't get along with...
It was the first year, too.
Correct, yeah. Probably so.
I was in the middle of all that. Yeah, it definitely was.
But the second year, you already knew Charles was too much of an alpha to deal with other personalities. And when Pippen came in, you could already sense... I mean, 34 Charles, 35 Dream, 33 Pippen.
No, and Scotty was the guy that wouldn't take the blame for anything. Right. So he wanted to dip others in the grease. And you mentioned one guy in Barkley who wasn't going to take it. And he tried his best for most of the year. But in the playoffs, when Scotty, remember, dribbled the ball away and they lost it, ended up losing the series to the Lakers, he still wanted to blame Charles for it and then came out and said he and Clyde ganged up and said, you know, I would have retired sooner if I'd have known I had to play with Charles and all this stuff, and because Clyde was piling on. And Charles was like, okay, I don't need all this.
Well, and remember that Pippen also intentionally went to the media to throw Barkley in the grease in the offseason to force the Rockets to trade him, and they did October 2nd.
That was the whole drinking and not training and everything like that. Yeah. But Barry wants to get you some other questions. So
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I was curious about, because we heard, you know, after the Demaryius Thomas trade, he wasn't quite up to speed, and it even showed on the field where he looked a little lost towards the end of the game. He was not
asking,
quite sure.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah, which is the worst, because then everyone knows, all right, well, nobody has to cover him because he doesn't even know where to go. But what's the nuance of that? Because we all assume, oh, well, it's a playbook. How much of it is similar? How much of it is kind of across the board? Because if Tony Romo can watch two teams that he doesn't play for and tell you what's going to happen on both sides of the ball, there's got to be some continuity between teams when you go from one offense to the other. There's a nuance, but how difficult is that to pick up a playbook?
Okay, so you might know certain route combinations that are standard in football and things like that, but he's got to pick up verbiage. Like, here's the things that Tony Romo doesn't have to worry about. He's got to pick up Demaryius Thomas has to pick up verbiage of the play call in the huddle when he calls it, what do the formations, because there's a good chance everything is completely different. So there will be certain things that, that will tell him what the formation is. It will tell him, you know, what his route may be. It's the verbiage that he has to get used to. He has to learn a new language, basically.
Okay.
So he's got to learn a new language. So it tells him what's going on in his, you know, when the play is called. That tells him what his specific duties are. Then from there, he has to, you know, you have to get on the same page with how you want to run, you know, how certain – the Texans might run – because the Texans' offense is different than Denver's, they may run certain routes a little different with different depths depending on what the coverage is. So there's some subtleties also about, okay, if they show you this look, we like to, you know, we're going to take this over the top of the corner. If he's going to show you inside leverage and we're going to take it wide and go over the top of him and stuff like that. So it's more complicated probably than you think in terms of just learning how do we handle certain looks defensively, how do we communicate with each other in the huddle. And then, you know, and that doesn't even get into what it's really supposed to be like with, you know, with the quarterback getting a feel for how Demaryius Thomas runs routes, where he likes the ball.
If he's a little shallow on an out of his break.
Yeah. Like Will Fuller was way faster. So yeah. How fast is Demaryius out of his breaks? Am I going to have to, you know, put the ball on him quicker because he can't get the same separation? So there's a lot of things. The bye week couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking. That's
they got J. Joe back. It sounds like J. Joe, Colvin are both back.
What about Foreman?
No, it doesn't sound like.
I mean,
Foreman.
He's supposed to be close to practicing again.
That's what they say. Yeah, but then we'll see how long it takes. Like I'm at the point now where they're so coy with Foreman. I'm kind of wondering if he's
something more to it.
He might be the last. It's just taking longer than I thought, but he could still end up being a major factor come playoff time. Like as long as he gets
healthy. Just let him rest.
Well, they just want to make sure he's 100%. But they're getting they're going to get back Kiki QT, Aaron Colvin, and JJo this week.
For how many
like.
Plays?
Well, I mean,
that's in QT's place because he just can't stay healthy.
Aren't you sick of the slot position for the Texans?
Good like, Lord!
Man, can you find somebody who can play that without
Miller
getting hurt?
And now him uh-huh. and. Even if you want to put Ellington in there and he got hurt.
Next year, they may move Will Fuller there some, and unless they go Demaryius big slot. Thing. Yeah, they got to make a decision on Demaryius. He could be a rental, but that's kind of an expensive rental.
Is this offensive line, I mean, are my eyes deceiving me, or are they getting better as this year goes along?
Yeah, they're getting better.
I feel like the last three weeks, they've played pretty well. I thought last week was worse than the previous 2 weeks. But I feel like that when you look at the first three games or four games, and since they've been on the winning streak, they're running the ball. I mean, they're a top 10 rushing team.
Yeah.
You have to have a decent offensive line to do that.
Well, continuity too, right? I mean, you started getting the same five guys together that have built some continuity, and that's something they didn't have. They were rotating guys in and out early.
Well, your team went from bad to really pretty good when they added Bakhtiari and Sitton, and then they had Lindley, and they had the same group for a full year, and it made all the difference in the world. Now, that group was much more talented than what the Texans have. But just having the same guys playing the same positions, Davenport was out of position when he moved from left to right tackle. They put him back at left. That made a difference. Martinez Rankins, I don't think, is really suited to play tackle right now in the NFL. And they brought Kendall Lamb back in, who he's not great, but he knows his limitations and weaknesses. And then, you know, I think they're just healthier now, and they just have a better – the continuity's better and the consistency from guard to guard. So, yeah, they're playing better. It's not a good offensive line, but I don't think it's a really bad
worst
one.
Worse than the NFL? Because I think a lot of people thought this was going to be the worst in the NFL.
It's definitely not worse than the NFL.
There's good news,
lines.
Texans fan.
Real quick before we let you get out of here.
Bills offensive
we had a lot of people talking about head coaching opportunities, even maybe Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. But who are some of the hot names? Is Lincoln Riley a real name for the NFL?
Yes, Lincoln Riley is going to be a real name for the NFL. Now, can Oklahoma keep him? We'll see. But I got to think, if you have a chance to coach Baker again, and there's talent over there as well, and you got a fresh run up with, you know, with the brand new GM. I think he's going to have to seriously consider that spot.
There you go. We appreciate it, buddy. Lance Zierlein, always a pleasure having you spending some time with us.
Yes, sir.
Doing quadruple duty because you live here and you do the show in the mornings as well. So listen to The Bench when you get a chance, but always listen to The Usual Suspects. And on that note, we'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be joined by 94.1 and the Mappers coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.